that's what you had last night. Patriots game in Foxborough, Red Sox game at Fenway Park. They tie up the series 2-2. I think we start with both. Got to start with both games.
I guess.
Had a lot going on last night. What do you mean you guess?
I watched two pitches.
That's okay. We'll have to...
The one before, Price gave up the home run and then the home run. Because that's the only time they had it on up in the broadcast. But we were getting ready to call football games. So.
I watched both games. I was able to watch both.
Nice.
So I'll start with my Red Sox thought then. David Price last night.
Yeah.
Got a standing ovation as he left the field.
Bronx cheer?
Genuine... Real clapping, real cheering for him as he left the field. As he said after the game, he very much appreciated that.
Huh.
David Price last night is a guy who was stepping in the right direction, but I think people are a little bit too excited. People have lowered the bar on him. That's what's happened.
It's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
They've lowered the bar. He now doesn't have to do very much to be considered successful. They still do pay him like $32 million a year to be good. We might as well put Lenny's mic on. Let's go, Lenny. Put the mic on. Let's start talking sports with us.
That's a pitch. Funny. Yeah. Someone's good at math here. How much is that a pitch?
It's a lot.
Right?
Sometimes you get in last night.
I had to go to the dentist, so I've been to the dentist.
Did they shoot your head up? Are you like your brain numb or is your mouth numb?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
I told Lenny we're going to give him a bowl of ice cream, have him eat it, and have him drool over himself.
Late, because I stuck around after him. What a game. But both games. Both games are great. You know, I didn't want to go into Houston being down 2-0.
I always said this with Beetle, too, the price. It's never about the money. Well, it sort of is about the money. And I heard Kevin McNamara on with Touch of Rich this morning, and he said, yeah, there was a lot of sarcasm in the cheers when he left.
Oh, I thought they were cheering because he was going out of the game. I really did.
I thought
they were cheering because he's leaving.
You surprised Cora left him in?
It seemed genuine. No, I'm not surprised Cora left him in.
After he gave it up, I thought maybe he was not going to come out for that fourth unless they said, you know what, we're going to live or die with you.
Well, he went 4 2/3, gave up all four of their earned runs that he had last night. Kimbrel gave up a run in the ninth inning.
Our biggest concern going into the series and any series, obviously, at the end of the regular season was the bullpen. You know, what's this bullpen? This bullpen's toast. This bullpen's going to be junk. Starters are going to have to go 7. None of the starters can go 7.
Here's what I want to know. We spent a lot of time last week talking about is David Price pitching going to validate Alex Cora's decision to go with him in game 2? Mm. That didn't last night. It wasn't a train wreck. It wasn't a complete disaster, but it didn't exactly go well.
No.
It wasn't a great start. It was okay.
Who's going the first game in Houston?
Eovaldi.
Valdi gets game 3, and then it's bang, bang, bang. I mean, it's going to be late games, but it's 1-2-3 right after the other. And that was a must win for both teams last night. I think it was must win for both teams last night.
Well, it certainly was for the Red Sox.
Yeah, but I mean, even for the Patriots too. You get that game 3-3. You know, you come out of that 3-3, and the Chiefs are undefeated at 6-0. Lenny, you're chasing that team.
Oh man, are you kidding?
Yeah, for a long time.
But you know what? I felt, even though I was nervous, but. Brady, it's unbelievable. He's 41 years old.
You've been watching this for 19 years.
Yeah,
you were fat. That would have started. I mean, you're looking at Something About Mary movie, and there's Lenny there. And he's not even the same guy.
Oh, no, I'm not. If I keep my mouth shut, no.
Well, Brady isn't either. I think he only takes care of himself.
He does take care of himself. He looks great, but oh, my God, right down. And why did they wait so long to go to Gronk? That was my question.
Well, I think there's a lot of things in play with Gronkowski. We'll get into a bunch of that. But, I mean, I just think something still isn't right with him.
But he was, like, swatting
people.
He's
been getting held. He's up against it. You know, he really is up against it.
Yeah. Well, but, man, when he made that long run, he was swatting people like he was a bear.
What's a great call.
Oh, man, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But what you say about this, though, in terms of must-win status for the Patriots, they'd be not really 3 games, but 4 games behind, because then Kansas City would have the head-to-head.
Bingo.
It'd be three games back.
People forget about that, right?
3 games back plus a head-to-head.
Right.
Which is a problem. Big swing. Huge swing with that win last night.
I get response with like a lot of ha-has out of Miami. Yeah, you're still tied with us at first. No, beat you head-to-head. Still in first place. Mm. Yeah, because, we're 4-2. You're 4-2. And Miami's still in first place, too. No, you're not. You know, you lose the head-to-head battle. You beat the Dolphins. So you beat him handedly. A weird day in the National Football League yesterday, though. I mean, you couldn't. Thank God I'm not a gambler. Really. Really, thank God I'm not a gambler. I couldn't pick one damn game yesterday.
I've learned so hard.
Is this why you do so many gigs?
Yeah. No, the gambling problem left just after the drug problem. But, yeah, oh, no. Yeah, I would have lost everything yesterday. Oh, man, it was unbelievable.
I mean, I'd have been 0-for-6 picking games yesterday.
I was happy Chicago lost. I hate Chicago.
Yeah, we got so them do I. Got That's them an easy one to root against. Yeah.
Got them this week.
And one of the weird times you're rooting for the Dolphins to win.
That was yesterday.
Yep. Weird
yeah, because
one.
You're not worried about the Dolphins.
And what did the Jets win yesterday?
Jets won. They pounded.
Wow.
Jets,
Indy.
Wow. Jets have ripped off a couple in a row now. No. So I think so. Is that correct? I think they've won two or three in a row. I think so.
I'll go two. I'll challenge three.
Oh, I mean, the Giants are falling apart.
Oh, that's nice.
The Jacksonville doesn't show up. I mean, we'll get into all these games, but, I mean, what a night in Boston sports.
Everyone gets up for the Patriots. Everyone gets up for the Patriots. They play their best games when they play us.
I mean, that's a you got the target on your back.
Yeah.
I mean, the ratings are indicative of what everybody was watching last night.
Mm-hmm.
Great night for Boston sports here in Boston. Does that make sense? Yeah. Great night for Boston sports here in Boston.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
It's all coming together.
What's your big thought, though, on the Patriots game coming away from that?
That the offense almost lost that game as good as they looked and as many points that they put up. The way they came out in that second half and sort of sputtered around.
Mm.
He went down, and I looked at Soucy after they kicked that field goal, you know, to start that second half. I'm like, I don't feel good about this because it was a great drive. You get down there, you stall, you get three.
Right.
And then the Brady fumble, which I thought was one of his worst plays in a long time. Then they redeemed themselves. You know, the offense was that close to losing it. You could sit here and you could bitch and moan about the defense, but, I mean, pick your poison. That defense held them to three field goals in that first half.
I know.
They could have scored 60, Kansas City, easily.
I think, you know, I was talking with Ninkovich, and I said, what do you think? He said, I think –
Kelsey's a non-factor last night.
Yeah, right, non-factor. But I think the Mahomes, I think it was his first really, really big game, and it was a little over his head. And it looked like that in the first half.
He got flustered, but he settled down. That kid's going to be good. We'll be watching him for a long time in this league.
All right, so those are some thoughts just on both of the games last night. 617-779-0985, the phone number. We're going to get to your calls all day long. But we do want to talk about Comics Come Home, Lenny.
Yes, we do.
You're excited about this?
I'm very excited. It's the first time
we ever opened a show with a comedian, like starting a show.
Well, that's all right.
Not that you're really a comedian. You're like a friend of ours.
Yeah, that's right.
I got an email over the weekend about it, you know, knowing that we were going to do this. And I read one email where it said it's the fourth annual. I go, that's not right.
Oh, no.
It's the 24th annual.
They
left out the 20. I'm like, this is not right. This has been going on for decades.
You know how you do events like golf events, after 5 or 6 years, they tail off. No one's coming.
Yeah.
This thing is bigger and better than ever. And the lineup that he's got is incredible. You know, Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly. He's coming in. Brian Regan, probably one of the top comedians working the country today. Christine Hurley. You know her, Zoe. She's amazing from Plymouth. And she's, you know, I say to people, Lenny, what do you think? I said, I've been doing this 41 years. She's the funniest woman I've ever seen, even before Roseanne, the first time around, before she went off the rails the first time.
You know it, Dan.
You're damn right, Dan. Damn right she's funny, Dan.
So we're going to be giving away tickets to this. It's coming up on November 3rd at the Garden. So you guys are going to bang the place out?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always a special guest. Last year, Dennis had John Mayer come out.
God.
And John Mayer, and he's standing next to me playing the guitar. I go, oh, my God. He goes, how you doing, Lenny? I go, you're John Mayer. I go, you have a giant, you know. And he started laughing.
No, you're thinking of John Hamm.
No, John Hamm, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You seem to know a lot about the big ones.
Huey Lewis?
Oh, I don't know.
Huey Lewis?
Oh, yeah.
James Woods.
Really?
Huge.
No way.
Wow, the name like Woods.
Yeah, huge.
You know, you got to live up to that.
You know, in the old days, it was Milton Berle. He was supposed to. And Forrest Tucker. So they're at Jackie Gleason.
Oh, I heard about Milton Berle.
Right, Forrest Tucker?
From F Troop. You're too young.
Yeah, they say Errol Flynn had a huge one, too. No, what?
Who? So they're down at Jackie Gleason's golf tournament. And Jackie says, let's see who's got the biggest one. Just come on, Milton, pull it out. And he goes, I don't want to do this, Jackie. I don't want to do this. Well, just pull out enough to win. And and all without any breaking any FCC regulations.
Yeah.
Because I respect you guys.
One of my favorite movies. Remember back in the day, Porky's, and the nickname was Meat. They went to the one bar. They had the tray.
It's a true story. There was a documentary.
Was it Can of Soup worthy?
Yeah. It'll hurt you. You saw it, you'd run.
Yeah, nicknamed it Campbell's. All right, caller 10 right now, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets for the 24th annual Comics Come Home.
Oh, there you go.
It's good. Happening November 3rd
at
the Garden.
Great.
Lenny Clark will be there.
Yeah, got to be there.
And name all the other ones, because I don't have all the names. Name them all again.
Billy Gardell, Brian Regan, Dennis Leary, Bobby Kelly, Christine Hurley. I'm on out. They
That's
should
enough.
Sent you the list.
That's
yeah.
Sweetie. Well, I got
no
a couple
sweetie.
Of them here. I don't have all those names, but you've got them all. Get your tickets right now at Ticketmaster.com. All the
and
proceeds.
Hardy's going to make a special.
Hardy's
going
to be there.
I'll get up there. I'll do
the funniest guy in our
show. I'll do 5 minutes.
Hardy is very funny.
You know, I'll do 5 minutes. You want to do five?
Yeah, do five.
I got a guy. I'm going to do five
ladies
minutes.
And gentlemen, Hardy.
Certainly was pretty good the other night. How are they going to ask him back?
Proceeds benefit the Cam Neely Foundation for Cancer Care. And against Caller 10 right now, you're going to win your tickets to go to Comics Come Home, coming up on November 3rd at the Garden. All right, Lenny, it was good seeing you.
Beetle, thank you so
love
much.
Love you, Lenny.
It was nice. Love you, too. So it was nice seeing you guys at the game last night.
I know. It was great.
On the sidelines. I was down there until they forget who I was, and then they asked me to leave.
Well, you were a superstar.
Hey, you know what? I met Peter Berg. I met Peter Berg last night, the director of all Mark Wahlberg's movies.
Oh, yeah? He was there?
I said to Bob Kraft, I said, Robert, tell him how good I am. He goes, Lenny's very, very good. Yeah. I love Robert
He's
Kraft.
The best.
I love Robert Kraft.
He's very good.
He's a funny guy.
He's very good. All right, guys.
I love you.
I love you guys. See you. Bye.
Lenny Clark, he'll be a part of Comics Come Home coming up on November 3rd. We'll get back to the two games that happened last night. Patriots in Foxborough, Red Sox at Fenway. Both teams get huge wins. We're discussing it all day long here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First mistake of the night for Patrick Mahomes last night in Foxborough. He threw a... ...was there. I don't think he ever saw him.
No.
Didn't see Hightower.
Never did. Now, those are ones that drive you crazy as a quarterback, where you think something's wide-ass open, and all of a sudden this guy cuts right underneath it. And, you know, the good teams in this league do that because it's got to be so well-scripted and it's got to be so well-timed. I want to talk about Hightower real quick here because, you know, he's been under a little bit of scrutiny, obviously, this year because at times he has looked slow, you know, especially early in the year. And then, you know, the start of that game starts chasing Kelce, like, to the side, you know, on some crossing. I'm like, oh, God, we're going to have some problems here. And then you put him on a running back, and then you see the way they attacked him going up that seam, and it was indicative of, you know, the Marsh game from last year where he's chasing running backs going down the middle. And it's just, okay, that's a bad call. We got to get out of that defensive call. But after that, I thought he settled the front down. I'm surprised by the amount of snaps he played and what was obviously total passing situations. But I think it's for the RPO because who else is going to get in there and attack during the running game? You know, you saw Robertson there at times, but I thought Hightower was in there just to police the front the way McCourty sort of has to police the back end of it. But I thought that was the play right there. It was totally going to swing that momentum. They capitalize. You go up, it's 24-9. You've gotten off the field in some red zone stops, three field goals. And I thought right there, that's where the Chiefs were dead. I thought they were dead on the mat right there, and I thought you had the kid flustered. He wasn't seeing things real well. He was kind of guessing, throwing off the back foot. A couple balls high, you know, selling it 3 feet over some guy's head. And then Mahomes came out and played well in that second half. He really did. He's going to be good for a long time. We'll get into more of that stuff. But I thought Hightower in spots was really damn good last
How about Devin McCourty? He was criticized heavily last night on postgame by callers, not by the hosts. By the callers, it felt like every call was about Devin McCourty not playing well last night.
I mean, like, to which point? I mean, there's so many plays that
happened.
That
he looked slow, that he was chasing, that he wasn't there to make plays,
but
all that.
But both he and his brother chased down receivers with, like, remarkable speed.
It makes great effort on the long one.
Well, you would like to see them be in position to defend the pass from getting there in the first place or being in a position to make the tackle right away, but... No, I can't say that he had a good game, but he showed enough effort at enough times to where I wouldn't call it like a total disaster on the night.
So let me ask you this way.
Same thing for Jason.
The one where McCourty really, really looked bad and I think people were attacking him for was a Tyreek Hill touchdown where he was in that back end line and he ended up coming up short to get the ball. I think if you're McCourty, you're looking at it as a dead route. Like, okay, I got him covered. He's pinned on the back. I thought Mahomes was trying to get that ball to the back and fit it in over the top of Roberts, and he also airmailed that one, which turned into a Hill touchdown, who slid right up towards that front pylon, and McCourty got a lot of blame for that. That's a tough one to hang on him. You know, I mean, because it looks like, okay, you got smoked by 5 yards on that.
where I think it's the quarterback overthrowing the guy in front, and the other guy just goes and makes a damn play on the ball. That's some. Those guys got some speed.
Do you think any differently about the Patriots defense today than you did a full day ago?
No,
I don't either.
No,
nothing about.
That's why you
what happened
me,
in that game.
What's the takeaway from
changed
last night?
Changed anything you from asked, that defense?
You asked me at the start of the show. What's your takeaway from last night? I said the offense almost lost you that game because of the way they came out in that second half.
Yeah, you know why the Chiefs hung 40 on the Patriots defense? Because they're good. They're good. They're loaded.
Telling
you
that.
Good team.
Go back to the Super Bowl. Tell me what you feel better about, this defense or that one. I said that to Sosi last night, too. You got smoked in the Super Bowl by a bunch of backups. Now, I know Alshon Jeffrey's a good receiver. He's a good receiver. Where's the other kid? Torrey Smith. Is he even there anymore? No. Aguilar is good. Ertz is a damn good tight end. Two tight ends you saw last night are better than Ertz. How about the backs? A back last night was better than the one you faced in the Super Bowl.
Last
and a quarterback
night
last night is way better
last
than the one
better
you faced in the Super Bowl.
See, just saying, though, that the Chiefs hung 40 on you because they're good doesn't tell the whole story. It's the 31 second half points. And that's 2 weeks in a row now where you've been outscored heavily in the second half. And this is sometimes right. a problem. It's been a problem for the Patriots in the past as a team that generally has the lead yeah. going into halftime. And then you're just like, you know what? We're not going to do anything crazy here. Yeah. They're going to get a few points and you might get outscored 30 points. 31 points in the second half. That's too many.
There's
and
a balance there, though.
That's why you can. It's not just about the offense being stagnant to come out and begin the second half. It's allowing too many second half points for a second week in a row.
And it's almost that the team knew this, the coaches knew it, because they kept stressing after that game. We knew it was going to be a 60-minute dogfight. Like, we had to play our full 60 minutes. It was front to back, 60 full minutes. And if we're going to be critical in that second half, which you should be, the defense, they gave up some big plays. You don't want those massive 75-yard touchdowns where, okay, you got a safety that's 5 yards behind the guy. You got him. He breaks down incorrectly, and the guy takes it to the house. You got to give them credit for spotting that nine in that first half, because if they don't do that and two of those turn into touchdowns, this game's much different than what it ended up.
I don't know. I mean, when you look at two of those touchdowns in the second half, two of them were on short fields.
Yeah, I mean,
one was from 3 yards out.
Quarterback fumbled and held onto the ball for about 12 seconds.
Okay, special teams and defense. Special teams.
Oh, yeah, coverage. Kick coverage.
Oh, no. Right. No, special teams, big issue last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, big issue.
No doubt about it. But that's not your defense.
Coverage has been a little shaky all year.
You hand the ball to the team at the 29 and they score a touchdown. Hard for me to sit there and bitch about the defense. You hand them the ball at the 3. You know, if you're you remember that defense coming onto the field and it's, hey, they get the ball at the 3. Well, what the hell am I going to do with this? I mean, that's not all on the defense. It's not. And I look at last night and say their offense is better than your defense, and there is no shame in that whatsoever. None. There isn't.
Yeah,
they're a really good team.
It's about keeping guys in front of you, making sure you try and tackle and just limit them to what you can limit it to. And I thought they at least took some chances down in their own where they're backed up, where they were cover zero. We haven't seen that all year.
Yeah.
Cover zero is no safety. And you got 11 guys up on 11, and I'm like, okay, this is not going to end well. But that at least you end up generating some pressure there and force the kid to throw off the back foot and miss some open touchdown throws.
Yeah.
He missed a couple touchdown throws.
But it's a slight margin. I mean, that game was won last night because the disparity between your good offense and their bad offense was a little bit greater than their good offense and your bad defense.
I'm confused. What the hell did he just say?
The disparity between the Patriots' good offense.
In and out.
The Patriots' good offense and the Chiefs' bad defense, right, was a little bit bigger
good versus
than
bad.
The disparity between their good offense and your bad
Got
defense.
Got it. The first time around, you said offense and offense.
Sorry.
I was confused.
But
I'm
just,
like,
a tiny bit, yeah. And it's back to what you guys were talking about with Mahomes. A little rattle to begin,
yeah.
Big spot. You know, wasn't quite settled in, but how talented is that guy?
He throws a velocity that I haven't seen in a long time.
Right.
Like those ones down the field – most quarterbacks, like a luck, they'll balloon it in there, and then, you know, the safety will come up and make the play. If he doesn't have that type of throw, the velocity, where he just cannons that thing in there about 45 yards down, you know, you allow now them to catch it cleanly, you know, start to make a move, and now you got 4-3 guys that have a chance to dust your safeties. You aren't going to catch him. I mean, Harmon had the angle, perfect angle. Down, boom, psh, right out the back gate. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. Because who went back? You want him or you want McCourty back here? I think it would have happened to both guys. Chung, same thing. Any of those three safeties, I thought, would have got beaten on that.
Get some of your calls in 617-779-0985. Derek in Orlando. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up?
Hey, great night last night, both sides of the table, Fenway and Gillette. My question for you guys is, on that Brady touchdown run, they made a big deal about it on TV that the Chiefs defender held up because he was afraid of a penalty. Can you maybe turn that? Is that an excuse? Or is that something that's legit around the NFL right now?
No, it's not an excuse. And I also credit Adrian Claiborne last night for, you know, not driving Mahomes into the turf when he got a couple pressure contact hits. What he said is he had Brady around the waist. If you saw the play, he wraps him around the waist. He thought Brady threw the ball. So the fact that he thought the ball was gone, he didn't want to throw Brady to the ground after throwing the football. And that's what was going through his mind. He didn't see that Brady kept the ball in his hand and elected to run. So it wasn't that, you know, I want to hold him and let him blow the whistle. He thought the ball was gone, and these defenders now know that when the ball is gone, you really can't hit this quarterback, any quarterback in the National Football League anymore. You know, and the way he had him, too. You know, it's either you're going to pick him up and throw him to the ground or, you know, it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot for these guys. Yeah, I remember years ago when O.C. Umanura, who the hell did he have? Was that Cam Newton that he had sort of hogtied and he held him? They didn't blow the whistle and he let him go and he ended up running for a bunch. That was years ago, but the rules have changed, you know, drastically since that. I don't think it's an excuse. I think he's just telling you it's the way we play the game now, and this is what happened. I think he honestly answered that. Now, you don't blame the refs for that one. He kept the ball. There's no hit. There's no contact. So it's on the player.
Hardy has our headlines. Get you caught up on everything. We'll get back into the Red Sox game from last night as well, and your calls next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Two big games, two big wins for Boston teams last night. First, the Patriots beat the previously undefeated Kansas City Chiefs 43-40. Tom Brady, you guys had a big lead at halftime. What happened?
You know, we had control, and then we let them back in the game with some, you know, the fumble was a bad play. But, you know, they were making plays on offense. We were making plays. And we talked about competing for 60 minutes, and that's what it took. It took us right down to the last 3 seconds.
Next up, Pats travel to Chicago to play the Bears Sunday afternoon. Red Sox held on to beat the Astros at Fenway Park last night, 7-5, to even the ALCS at one game each. David Price went 4 2/3 innings, allowed 4 runs on 5 hits. Game 3 tomorrow evening, 5:09 start time in Houston on Tuesday night. Tonight, it's the 1-4 49ers visiting the 2-2-1 Packers in the Monday Night Football game. Bruins off until midweek, and then back-to-back games. They'll play in Calgary on Wednesday and Edmonton on Thursday. Headlines are brought to you by My Hair Doctors, Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti, 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zola, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Sale trying to get out of another mess. And now it's 3-2. Missed badly with the breaking ball.
Adds velocity and a bit of control issues for Chris Sale. How can he be effective the rest of the way?
Get back to his delivery. He's struggling actually with command, a lot of 3-2 counts, hit by pitch, and that's not usual for Chris.
He's got him loaded now. Runners go and a swing and a shot, and it's in the left field, goes under the glove of Nunez. This will bring in 2 runs as Correa and Maldonado score. And the Astros strike first, George Springer. 2-0 Houston on a shot right under the glove of Eduardo Nunez.
Lost command. Kind of out there searching for it for a little bit. Sometimes you're battling yourself, and that was definitely the case.
Chris Sale was on the mound game one Saturday night for the Red Sox. He didn't look great. And now he's in the hospital. He was overnight at MGH for observation after dealing with a stomach illness. That seemed like a bit much to stay overnight for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I had the, as you know, last year I had that flu, and it's about as bad as I've had the flu.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor, got the prescriptions, went and got the masks, and stayed in a different room in my house
days. I get it, though. They're trying to get him back up and running, right?
I mean, he's thin to begin with, and if you're puking, and if you have the you-know-whats, and, you know, you got a temperature, and you need to get that thing treated. I mean, you're probably going to lead to a faster recovery if you get in the hospital to get the IV and get that thing going, and you get meds that way.
You worried about him?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
the velocity's not there.
The velocity was not there on Saturday night.
If he's not right, man, I mean, how much can you patch this thing together the way they've been patching it together? Really, that's what they've been doing.
Well, they didn't patch it together in game one. They lost. And
no, but I mean, it's, you know, he didn't last long.
Yeah, he threw 86 pitches in only 4 innings.
He's labored. Labored. He and Price both labored.
He walked 4 guys. That, to me, is one of the most shocking parts.
Walked 4 and didn't hit a guy. Team, he hit a guy, too, right?
The team walked 10 guys that night. 10 walks in the game, which is just insane. But Chris Sale, the velocity was down. The location was not there. He was missing a lot. And Justin Verlander was great. Red Sox lose. They did not hit on Saturday night. The offense didn't get going. So even though we talk about Chris Sale, you know, not being at his best, I'm not sure that Chris Sale lost the game. I wouldn't put it on him. Put it on the fact that you're not hitting. I'm putting it on the fact that Mookie Betts comes up with the bases loaded. And instead of having some sort of timely hit, he grounds out.
First pitch ground out.
So
swinging right away.
That's what I sort of look to. I look at Saturday night's game and say, you didn't hit. Forget your bullpen.
You didn't hit. Nunez went in the tank defensively. I mean, there are so many things in that game.
Forget the bullpen being an issue, which it is, by the way. We'll get to that in a minute. The bullpen is an issue. But Chris Sale was not the issue. And maybe the bullpen, I'm sorry, isn't an issue. It's just the bottom of the bullpen is dreadful. Like, Brandon Workman sucks. Like, we didn't know that already. And he was left in far too long on Saturday night. And Alex Cora didn't really have an explanation for it. He didn't really have much that made sense other than, I don't know, they were trying to get through.
Get away with it.
Get away with it.
But you saw that last night because they used Porcello last night. So I'm actually happy they used Workman in game one after seeing game two, Porcello. If Porcello couldn't pitch last night, I don't know. Do you use Kimbrel for 6 outs?
I don't know.
How skittish does he look?
I don't know. I don't know what they would have done there. But that's just why you just have to, you know, go back to what we said they would have to do before the start of the series, and that is use starters in that spot in the 8th inning. That's what we talked about. That this isn't new anymore. Started last series.
All hands on
it's
deck.
It's here to stay.
Yep.
And it's the right move on their part. But that game on Saturday night was still close, even though the Red Sox didn't hit for crap in that game. That was the most frustrating part about that game. Was the Red Sox not being able to hit, not being able to take advantage of certain situations.
Neither team really hit that much. I mean, Houston scored their runs on home runs. It's, you know, their ability to take it deep is what won that game for them. But, I mean, that game, how many total hits were in that game? 5? 5, 6 hits?
There were a total.
Lasted almost 5 hours?
On Saturday?
Yeah.
8. There were 8 hits in the game.
8.
But combined between 2 teams. So I'm concerned here about Sale because you get held overnight. That's pretty serious, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you're just sick and you have the flu and you're puking or whatever it might be, you go, you get your IVs, you go home, right?
Yeah,
you
don't, like Malcolm Butler was sick and had the flu, but did he get in the hospital or not?
I have no idea. Home? But all I know is that Chris Sale is going to go to Houston today on his own.
Yeah.
So there was a travel change for him for the staying overnight at MGH.
Unless you didn't want him.
Team left last night. They didn't bring him with them.
Well, it's just one big tube.
Unless you want to isolate him.
Yeah.
Unless that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Is keep him away from everybody else in case whatever he's got is contagious. But I'm concerned that he's got something wrong with his arm because of the velocity being so down, the control being such a problem. And now I'm also concerned because he's obviously very sick with something.
And going back to, was it Porcello that said, you know, just happy for him and everything he's been through? Was that Porcello that had that comment?
All he's been through, yeah.
All that he's been through. And this is after the Yankee series. You know, when he came in and, hey, Skip, I got an inning in me if you needed me. You know, that. Well, what was he through? I mean, we know he was shut down twice. The shoulder didn't respond. Is it worse than they're leading on to believe?
Hey, by the way, Jim just pulled this up. It's Cora from Saturday night talking about why he left Workman in the game instead of going to someone like Kimbrel. Well, it was still close.
Alex, any thought of going to Kimbrel there in the ninth down by a run just to kind of try to keep it close there?
We were thinking Rick and Work, where they were in the lineup. I think, you know, Work, you know, if he executes pitches, we can get away with it because of the breaking ball and the fastball up. He didn't execute his pitches, and they made him pay.
There you go. Brute honesty. Whether you like it or not, brutal honesty.
What in the world?
If it was the meat of the order, Porcello was coming in that game. That's what I take out of that.
Yeah.
And they would have been screwed last night.
Yes.
We tried to get away with it because we thought at that part of the order we could get away with it, is what he's basically saying. My question with Emmy, why in the world do you think you could get away with that? what do you mean? You know, Brandon Workman feels like every time out, he's got at least one walk in him. Like almost every time he pitches, he's got a walk there somewhere.
Because you're trying to think and plan for a series. You know, trying to think this thing out. Okay, let's try and get out of this with him.
Maybe he's
losing the game. You're not tied or winning. Yeah. You're losing the game.
Maybe right. He felt like his team was going to lose either way because they just weren't hitting the baseball that night.
That's a good point.
Maybe he just thought, this game's over. My guys are not going to hit the ball tonight. We are done.
I don't want to waste Porcello.
Why waste anybody on this team tonight when they're not hitting? That might have factored in. And I don't know that he would have necessarily been wrong if that's how he thought of it. They weren't hitting. They didn't hit the baseball. Sale wasn't great. Price wasn't great last night. The difference between the two games, the Red Sox scored runs. And by the way, even despite putting up the runs last night and Jackie Bradley Jr. had that bases clearing double that made a huge difference, the difference in the game, it still feels to me like the Red Sox are struggling to produce runs. That didn't feel like that came easy last night. That was a struggle last night for the Red Sox. Scoring runs is a problem for them right now. Hasn't been much of a problem at very many points this year.
It was a problem with Ian Kinsler coming up. That's when it was a problem last night.
Yeah, it was.
That was a bold move by Cora last night, starting Kinsler.
That was unfortunate.
Bold move.
617-779-0985. Paul is in Cambridge on the Patriots. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great
What's up, Paul?
Game last night. It's tough to go to the Pats game when the Sox are on, but when I get to sit on the 25-yard line right behind KC, and my client sat me with three guys from KC, it was tough. But we went back and forth with them all night, and when it finally came down to it, there's 3 minutes left on the clock, Brady's got the ball, and I said, guys, I shook their hands, I said, great game, it's over. And sure enough,
Paul.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I mean, just like back when, you know, Brady had a minute and 8 seconds to win the Super Bowl, he ate that clock up, he brought it down, they executed well. I think the defense, believe it or not, the defense won the game for us. And I'm saying that because of the fact that three times they held them to a field goal. That was big. And then having Edelman back opened up Hogan for some phenomenal catches.
All right, Paul, appreciate it. Let's pick up on his point there about the Patriots defense in the red zone. They stiffened up in the red zone last night a few times.
Well, early they allowed you to play with the lead and start fast.
That's coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Patriots with only one down lineman at the moment. A bunch to the left. Mahomes take the snap. There's pressure. He's hit as he throws downfield, and Kelce was open with an overthrow. A lob to the left sideline. Chung trailing in coverage, and Mahomes took a stick. As Daron Harmon came for the Patriots among the extra rushers.
I'll tell you what, I like it. It takes some big kahunas right there, but it's Claiborne off the right side. Almost got to Mahomes. Boy, he had him too. And I'm telling you, he's missing some guys right now. You got him a little flustered.
.52 here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985, the telephone number. What are you laughing about?
Whoa.
Okay.
What just happened?
Oh, it's music.
Sounds in my head. Yeah, like the music changed. Is this the same song?
Yes.
Oh. I like the song.
Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't it look like he needs a gold chain around him right now?
Yeah, why not?
What?
The half zip there.
Speaking of gold chains, guess who I saw walking out?
Who'd you see?
Robert Goon. And he looks pretty good. Talked to him about the robbery that took place Super Bowl. It's like them bastards.
Robert Goon being Rob Gronkowski's personal handler.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not to be confused with the Gooch.
Confidant.
The bully from Different Strokes.
Jim said gold chain, and I thought of Goon.
Right.
Yeah. No shock there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right,
nice chain.
Yeah, very good. Sean in Brockton has a Red Sox thought. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. No, I was just listening earlier, and I heard one of the hosts saying that, you know, scoring runs is a problem for the Red Sox. And I'm thinking to myself, he went against Cole last night. It's supposed to be a problem. You know, it's supposed to be a problem in October, you know. But I think the biggest thing that you can take away from last night's game is the bottom of the order is coming through, minus Kinsler. But, you know, that's what I got to say.
Okay, well, if you want to talk about MVP candidates in both J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, guess what? To be considered that good, you hit good pitching, and they did hit good pitching all year long. That's a lousy excuse for why they're not producing. Oh, it's good pitching. Well, yeah, guess what? In October, it is good pitching.
Right.
And you still have to win games. You still have to produce. You still have to have runs cross the
plate.
You would
think the two guys that would have the ability to adapt when you face good pitching and be better than the rest of the lineup.
Can I just tell you that game one was like one of the worst baseball games I've ever watched?
Yeah,
I think that game sucked.
You kept texting
that was not a good game.
This is brutal.
That game was terrible. And Major League Baseball knows that game was terrible. I read Jason Stark today saying that Major League Baseball really wants this series to go seven games. They feel they need this series to go seven. They think that this is going to be big for the sport, big for the game. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it. They're two 100-win teams. You've got the defending,
of course you'd wish that.
Defending World Series champion going up against a challenger that had 108 wins. I get it. But Saturday night is not bringing anybody back to the game of baseball who hasn't been paying attention. It's not good.
It's brutal.
Not a good game. Not a great product. Is what I would say. Dave and Haverhill on the Patriots last night. Hey, Dave.
What's up, my brothers?
Hey.
What's up, guys? I got to tell you right now, the initial call stream was is the GOAT. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Hmm.
And I have to say,
going out on a
limb I looked
there,
up
huh?
some of the stats. I mean, it's cheesy, but you know, right now, when a 5-0 team comes into Foxborough, they lose. They lose to the greatest.
Yeah, it's a good call.
That's great.
The greatest. I mean,
that's like Mabel talking about the Cowboys.
It takes guts to call into this radio station on a day like this and make that statement.
Yeah. I'd rather bring Lenny back in.
Courage.
Courage. Gosh, that's
balls.
Tell you what,
it's a hot take there.
Yeah, Brady, you come
best
into
all
Gillette.
Time. Best of ever.
That is a house of horrors right there.
Oh, you know what? Let's balance out that opinion with Albert in Rhode Island. Albert.
Oh, there
hey,
we go.
No, Albert's a good football call. What do you got, Albert?
Yeah, how's it going? Zoe, what's up? Listen, before I get to my Patriots point, Zoe, you played the position. My man Eli, obviously, he's just about done, as much as it pains me to say. Does it happen this quickly? I mean, like, is it all go to crap?
Didn't we start to see this last year a little bit, Albert?
He wasn't effective, but I'm trying to balance out between the offensive line play and the lack of running game.
The running game's good. They're not going to commit. The problem with drafting a kid where they drafted him in Barkley is, I don't want to say you're going to waste a kid or your concept of offense, because Eli, his movement in the pocket hasn't gotten any better. I mean, the one thing Brady has developed late in his career is the ability to slide and move. As bad as Brady was on that 13-second fumble last night, he moved around about 10 different steps, you know, in the pocket. And I'm screaming, throw it, throw it, throw it, get rid of it. But Eli doesn't have that ability to do that at any point in his career.
And as you get older.
Yeah.
I mean, their offensive line, I mean, it's pathetic. But do you feel the rush more? And is he afraid to be hit because physically?
No, not at this point. Not at this point. I mean, this guy's played so many games. I mean, it's not about getting hit. It's about guys running open. You remember, like, when Cruz was good, you had a good slot guy. They had good, aggressive guys on the outside who would fight for the ball. Smith was a good receiver you guys had. I mean, what are the pieces other than Beckham? You know? How good is the tight end? You got to look at a team like Kansas City or New England last night, and you present problems for teams offensively when you go multiple, or you have the ability to change. Well, Barkley's in a game. Guess what? He's going to touch the ball.
Yeah.
He's not a third down specialist.
I saw a good tweet yesterday from Michael David Smith. He works with Florio at Pro Football Talk. He's the other writer there.
Yep.
Someone called him out for saying he was against the Giants drafting Saquon Barkley, and someone called him out saying Barkley profiles like a Hall of Fame running back. These sort of takes will look smart for maybe a year, probably less, about they should have drafted a quarterback. He responded by saying, how many times do I have to say this? Criticizing the Giants for drafting Saquon Barkley is not saying Barkley is not a good player.
Right.
Ronnie Brown could have rushed for 20,000 yards in his career.
Right.
And I'd still say the Dolphins should have drafted Aaron Rodgers.
It's like misuse of the pick, because you know the kid's special, but running backs just can't carry you every week the way it is. It's quarterback league.
But if you need a running back, this is how I've come to think of this because of this Giants pick. If you have your quarterback and you have a decent team,
it's a great pick.
And you want to get a really good running back.
It's a great pick then.
Then you can make the case for it. But you cannot make the case if you don't have your future sorted out at the most important position on the field.
And you just wonder,
like, if you have pass rushers, you have corners, you have a quarterback, and then you draft a running back, I can kind of see it.
It's a recipe. You got to have a decent coach. You got to have a quarterback that's got stones. Like you said, the pass rusher, an edge guy, and a kicker that will nail any kick. And you're going to win a lot of games if you have that.
Chuck is in Ohio. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Chaz?
Chuck. I don't understand this defending of, it seems like more the media than the fans of the McCourty brothers. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, Devin McCourty's making $10 million a year. He's not playing like a high-end safety. And you know, they got these two guys running around back there. I think they're the weak link in that defense. I don't really think the Patriots defense is that bad, but Hightower, Flowers. But I think the McCourty brothers back there, I mean, they're woefully slow. I don't care what anybody says. They're trailing on every play. And I think the Patriots need to make a move in for a trade or something before this gets out of hand.
Yeah, I think you're going to be waiting a long time because I don't think that's going to happen. And by the way, Jason McCourty wasn't good last night, didn't have a great game. He's been good all year long. He'd been good to this point.
We had Kelce a lot last night. Yeah, you know, because Gilmore was always taking
really
Watkins.
Good year. He's been rated highly, but I just think if you've watched, he has not been bad. In fact, I'm borderline stunned how great he's been.
I am too. He's progressively gotten better.
Preseason.
He has progressively gotten better. I thought he should have got cut in the preseason.
Jason's been the better of the two McCourties on the field this year. I would have not thought that'd
be
the case.
6 weeks ago, I'd have laughed in your face if you told me.
I just said you were crazy. Yeah. McCourty, Devin, that is, has not had a good year. You can say, yeah, he makes $10 million a year. He's not earning his $10 million a year, I guess.
Yeah, but I understand.
He's not playing like a $10 million a year player. And I would say, well, okay, you might be right. You're going to cut him?
And it's just, it's hard to criticize guys like that. And I understand what the call is saying is that, you know, he's been so good for you and he gets it. He's your ultimate patriot. And you dig guys like that. And, you know, when you lose a step or you're not playing at your high level, you sort of bite your lip a little bit on it. You look elsewhere to criticize. And that's kind of what's going on right now.
617-779-0985. Coming up in 90 seconds after these headlines, why the Chiefs were stupid. And yes, there were mistakes and stupid ones made by the Chiefs last night. We'll get to them next.